We're doing the Ein Yaakov. We're up to page Nun Tes in the Gemaros Brachos. And this is also page Tzadi Hei in the standard Ein Yaakovs. And the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Haro'et Hayam Agadol. He who sees the great sea, if you see the Mediterranean, Omer, Baruch Shasat Hayam Agadol. There's a special blessing. Blessed is he who made the great sea. Bizman Shero'eo Leprakim. Now this is contingent on a person seeing it at set intervals. But if you see it every day, then you can't make a blessing every day. So the Gemara immediately questions, Liprakim at kama. How much of a gap must there be between the times you see it in order to make that blessing? Amar Rami Baraba, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ad lamed yom. Rami Baraba said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, it has to be once in 30 days. And we take this line in the Talmud and we apply it to all the other blessings we saw in this chapter. Aside from two, we'll explain in one second. Meaning, we saw that you make a special blessing if you see a midget. Special blessing if you see an elephant, a monkey. A special blessing if you see a special huge mountain. A special blessing if you see, we just saw the ocean. So all these things that are constants, and it's unique that you see them, so then it's only unique if you haven't seen it in the last 30 days. It's brought in halacha that when one goes to the kotel, one tears one's shirt and says verses of mourning. That's only if you haven't seen it in the last 30 days. All the things that are responsive, that are blessings, that are a response to something unique that's seen. But that thing is a constant. What's unique is my meeting up with it, so then I only make a blessing once in 30 days. Provided that I've had 30 days that I haven't seen it.
If I see a mountain, yeah, I'm on the trip with my school, and I see a big, beautiful mountain. And I don't make the bracha, yeah? And the next day, I see the mountain again. Can I make the bracha or not?
I have to look it up, but I think not.
No?
I think not.
Okay.
But I have to check. Remind me. So, the next question is, what about lightning and thunder? So you make a blessing on lightning and thunder. So there we
thunder.
Say, yeah. We say you only make a blessing once in each storm. But let's say this storm subsided and a new storm started tomorrow. So then tomorrow I'll make a new blessing on the lightning and thunder.
Even when the thunder destroys things.
Even when?
The thunder destroys things.
Yeah, what we're saying is we're making a blessing over the might that we're seeing. We're seeing that the strength of nature. For sure it's tragic. An earthquake is also tragic and we make a blessing. We make a blessing of recognition of God's strength that's being exhibited in nature. So it's not a blessing of happiness, it's a blessing of awe. And the awe is there. You see a tsunami, I wish you not to see a tsunami, but that's awe. That's wow.
Well, it
was interesting. There was an earthquake, and the whole base medrash started looking around. And one guy got up on his feet and made the blessing on the spot out loud. It was very impressive. That's what he thought about. So this rule that once in 30 days, this rule we said is about things that are constants in nature. But what's unique is that I'm encountering them. So then it's only unique if I haven't seen them in 30 days. We have another quote from Rami Bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. Haro'eh prat agishra de Babel omer baruch ose ma'asev reshit. If a person sees the river of Prat, the Euphrates, and he's standing on the Babylonian bridge, he makes the blessing, Baruch Hosei Ma'asev Reshit. V'haydana d'shanyua parsai mibei shvu v'le'el. And today, that the Persians altered the river, so you only make that blessing if you see the Euphrates above Bei Shvu, wherever that is. So we have a special blessing when you see a river that's maintained its course from the beginning of time. Today, many rivers have been altered, so we don't make this blessing anymore. Osema Sev Reshit is only if you see this is the way God created the world. But if it's been altered, so you can't make that blessing.
It's in the south.
What?
It's in the south.
Ah, yeah? You're saying so. Okay. ואמר רמי ברבא הרואה דגלת הגישרא דביסטינה אומר ברוך שם מעשה ראשית. He says, you see the stream of דגלת, same thing, if you see it off of the bridge of ביסטינה, you can make that blessing. Then you have the river חידקל. מהי חידקל? The Gemara says, why is it called חידקל? אמר רב שמימיו חדין וקלים. That the waters of חידקל are sharp, and yet they're light. Meaning you drink them, the different waters have different minerals in them. Some waters, you drink them, they affect you one way, others waters another way. The Talmud tells us the waters in Babylon would cause people who were unaccustomed to those waters, it would cause them diarrhea. So, like in Mexico, they have the same thing. The waters have all kinds of things. What's it called? Tsunami? What's it called? Montezuma's Revenge, right? Yeah.
In Yaakov, it's supposed to be agadot, so why are we discussing like a halachic issue?
These are agadot in the halacha. These are the. It doesn't preclude every halacha.
Which river is that, Tigris?
I don't know which one is chidekel. My pirat, why is the river called pirat? Shemeimav parim verabim. That its waters seem to procreate, they seem to continuously grow. Ve'amar Rava, hay decharif ibnei machoza mishum deshatu maya dediglat. Rava says, the reason the people of Machozna are so sharp is because of their water. The water affects them. The water of Chidekel makes them smarter. So the Gemara says the diet and the minerals and the things you eat and drink, they can affect you. Why is it that their children are red in Machozna? Because they are immodest, because they're intimate with their wives during the daytime. So that's why the kids come out red. Their skin is redder. Why is it that their eyes are always wandering? They never can seem to let their eyes rest. So that's because they live in darker houses. So their eyes are never calm. They can never just let their eyes go to rest. We said over rain to make a blessing, says the Gemara al Agshamim, Atov Ametiv Mevarech. You make a blessing, Atov Ametiv, Amar Rabbi Avu, Vamla Manitatan, Mimatan Vachin Lakshamim, Shehatan, Likat Kala. The Talmud says you make a special blessing on rain. When do you make that blessing on rain? When the Chasan goes out to the Kala. Now, there are two interpretations what it means, the Chasan going out to the Kala. One interpretation is that when the drops of rain are about to hit the ground, the drops that have already hit the ground, they're bouncing back up towards it. So if you have that much rain after a period of a drought, so that's cause for rejoicing, and you make a blessing over that. The other opinion is that it's talking about the streams that run through the streets. If the streams start running into one another, you have so much water in the streets, so that's called the chasen going out to the kala. May mevachin, what blessing do you make when you have so much rain after a period of drought? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, modim anachnu lach al kol tipa v'tipa shoratanu, shoratalanu. We thank you, Hashem, for every single drop you gave us. Rabbi Yochanan nisiem b'hachi, and Rabbi Yochanan concludes the blessing. Ilufinu malei shirah kayam, the way we say in Nishmas, if our mouths were filled of song like the sea, and our tongue were capable of expressing like the number of waves, we wouldn't be able to express the amount of thanks that we have. Enanu maspikin odot Hashem lokeinu ad tishtachave b'och ata Hashem ha-hodaot. Rov ha-hodaot ve-lo kol ha-hodaot amarav ha-ima ha-kel ha-hodaot. The Gemara says, you conclude the blessing, blessed are you Hashem who deserves much thanks. The Gemara says, much thanks, not all thanks. So Rava says, okay, conclude the blessing, Hakel Odot, the God of thanks. So Rava says we should say both. We don't. What do we say every Shabbos? Kel Odot. We say like Rava said. Right? Kel Odot, Adonai Niflaot. We say Kel Odot, like Rava said. The potent one that deserves all thanks. The Mishnah says, Mevarech al ha-ra'a me'ein al ha-tova. You make a blessing over that which is bad, even though there's something in it that's good.
What's an example of that? The Gemara says, let's say a person has something happened to his crops that that there's a flood of water and it destroys his property. So do you make a blessing on that or not? You make a blessing over something bad, because what's bad now is your property was destroyed. Even though ultimately it's going to be good for you because there's a lot of water and the water brings a lot of fertilizer, and ultimately next year you'll have a better crop, but this year your crops were destroyed, so you make a blessing over that which is bad, even though hidden within it is a potential good in the future. And the inverse is also true. If you have something good, even though it can bring about something bad, you make a blessing thanking for the good. Hey Chidami, what's an example of that? What's an example we just saw of that 2 weeks ago?
Where something bad becomes good.
Where something good has something bad potential coming out of it, that Gilad Shalit was released. He was released, it's good. But all the potential bad that came from that, that's bad. So you say, okay, but right now I have good, and I have a tremendous potential for bad. Let's say you won the lottery. You found a diamond. So now you're very rich. Even though if the authorities hear that you found this diamond, they could come down and audit you and take everything you own. So sometimes, right now I won the lottery. I found a diamond. I found the treasure. So I'm very rich. But I know that there's potential that I could sit in jail if the government only hears about it. They'll find some kind of excuse to throw me in jail and take my money. So is it good or bad? Right now it's good with a huge potential for bad. So you make a blessing of appreciation for the good that's here now. Yeah. Right, that's a big question, which big rabbis dealt with, and I find it superfluous to enter the question. There was big people said big things. Who am I? I'm not saying anything. I'm saying I don't want to get into it. But I don't see what good can come of it.
Okay, I just didn't know if that was
The question is an amazing question, yes. I'm not sure what's been proven and hasn't been proven, because some big people said some things that I don't understand. So that's why I don't want to enter it. I
where could I look into this more? I just wanted to just to gloss over what they had discussed.
You could try to contact the Pua Institute. They might have a summary of all the different opinions and why. Yeah. Now the Mishnah tells us a rule. If you're going to daven over something that already happened, that's called a false prayer. Ketzad, how so? Haita ishto muberet. If his wife's already pregnant, she's in her 9th month, v'omer, and he says, Yiratzon shetered ishti zachar, God, please make it a boy. Well, it's either a boy or a girl by now. That's a pointless prayer, says the Mishnah. Harei zot tfilat shav. Haya ba baderech. He was traveling. He's standing outside the city, v'shama kol tzvacha ba'ir, and he hears someone wailing in the city, oy vey! V'amar, and he said, yiratzon shlo yeh betoch beiti, God, make it not be my house that just wailed. Well, it's too late, either it was or it wasn't. Harei zot tfilat shav. The Mishnah says, that's called a false prayer. The Gemara says, wait a second, v'lo me'ani rachame, is it true that your prayer will not alter anything after your wife is pregnant? V'amotiv rav Yosef, amay dichtiv, it says all the matriarchs had their children. Rachel didn't have children yet. And then Leah had a girl. The Torah words it, and after that she had a girl. And she named her Dina. My v'achal, what's the Torah telling us? And after that she had a girl. After what? Amarav, l'achal shedana le'ah din be'atzma. I'll tell you what it was. It was after Leah started thinking for herself, and she said, Yud bitchvatinati din latzet mi Yaakov. There are supposed to be 12 tribes from my husband Yaakov. Shita didi. I already had 6 boys. Daled dibne shvachot. The maids, Bila and Zilpa, they each had 2. So we're up to 10. There's supposed to be a total of 12. Ha sarah. Im ze zachar. Then Leah's pregnant. So Leah already had 6 boys. Another 4 were had by the maids. So we're up to 10. There are 2 left to be had. They all knew there were going to be 12 tribes. Leah sees herself pregnant. And she said, Im ze zachar, if this is a boy, then my sister Rachel can only have 1 kid left as one of the Shvatim. And then my sister won't be even as good as the maids, because she will have contributed only 1. So Leah prayed to Hashem, and the fetus became a girl. That's why her name was Dina, because Leah was done. Leah analyzed and came to a conclusion with herself. So you see that you could pray for things to change after the child's already formed. Dina was a boy. Leah's prayer turned her into a girl. Answers the Gemara, En maskirin maseni sim. Ah, Leah's prayer, that's a miracle. What do you want from me? Okay, so there was once in a history a miracle. Ordinarily, that type of prayer is pointless. Leah could pray that way. Or else you could say Leah's prayer was within the first 40 days. Kiditanya, as the Braisa says, after a person was intimate with his wife, he has 3 days to pray that the seed shouldn't go bad, because the seed can last up to 3 days. So he has to pray that the seed will last for 3 days. And by the way, modern science validates this, that male sperm can stay alive up to 3 days. Up to 40 days, you could still pray that it becomes male. From the 40th day till 3 months, you have to pray that the fetus doesn't miscarry, doesn't come out warped. From 3 months to 6 months, you have to pray that the woman shouldn't miscarry and that the child should live to see the 6th month. From the 6th to the 9th month, you have to pray then that the child come out in peace. It could be that Leah's prayer was before 40 days. Now, there is an opinion in the Rishonim, that I think it's the Shlach Kodosh, that says that the reason we find Dina going out of the house and being so active is because Dina, by her nature, was still a boy. God made a miracle and switched her physiologically, anatomically. She became a girl. But her spirit, she was a tomboy. She was ready to go out there and shepherd and play basketball. She was, but what can she do? She's a girl, so that's why she had a hard time staying indoors and she got into trouble.
Would you like to pray for a girl?
Oh, so that's an interesting question. You're definitely allowed to. When my wife became pregnant the first time, I went to Rav Halberstam Zatzal, and he said to me, okay, first 40 days, pray it should be a boy. Fine. My wife became pregnant the second time. I came to him and I said, Rebbe, now what? You know, if it's a boy, that's very nice. But if it's a girl, I'd do the mitzvah of pru or vu. So he sat and thought, stroked his beard and said, still pray it should be a boy this time. I didn't get that. Why? You know, if it's a girl, I'd do the mitzvah of pru or vu. So I guess he figured you have time. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what he was figuring. Maybe I don't know. He never explained it to me. Yeah. What?
Maybe he thought, if it's a girl, then you'll only have, might only have potential to have 2 children.
Oh, right. Could be. I'm not sure. He never explained it to me. I was happy I stumped him. I was happy he had to think for a minute. He didn't just come and answer me. But I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking. Umi mehani rachami. The Talmud asks, does it really matter what you pray for, whether the child's going to be a boy or a girl? So we can give a long explanation on this. Ma'ariv is exactly at 7:30 or 7:35? Okay, so we have 3 minutes. Okay, so the Gemara here tells us a line that seems very difficult. The Talmud says that you have a situation where a woman gives the seed first, then it's a boy. If the man gives his seed first, then it's a girl. And it quotes a pasuk, if the woman gives the seed, then it's a boy. So how could it be? What difference does it make Leah's prayer? That's talking about a situation where they both gave their seed at the same time. So you read this Gemara, you ask yourself, what are we talking about? What's a woman's seed? So you could say it means if she ovulated before he gave his seed. Or you could say that the Talmud called her giving her seed something else. Now here we enter a realm which I don't know if we should discuss online. So maybe... we'll close off the class and I'll explain it off the record. Yeah, unless you tell me you're from the video room. Should we leave this online? Is there a way they could edit this or leave it?
I have no idea.
You don't know. Okay. Yeah.
When we have a book, right? It's called The Coming Revolution, right? The book where Rav Zinger comes. So he takes a lot of Talmudic things and puts them together with scientific verified fact. Like you made a statement earlier. Now, when they make a statement like that, the sperm does not die until 3 days, and science puts that together. Now, in the Gemara, sometimes they're bringing things out through Svarot, right? Through reasoning, right? So how are we to say, are we saying that this is the tradition that they received? Not halakha Moshe saying, but this is the tradition that they received back from Moshe when science verifies such a fact like that, or their exegetical expertise was at such a level that back then they were able to bring something together that now concurs with science?
I don't know. It deserves a broader discussion because there are areas where they discuss science, and science today says differently. So some of those, I'm saying some of those places, science doesn't prove it. Science denied that you could have an electric eel. Scientists in Europe denied the existence of an electric eel till they saw one. They had all kinds of theories why it can't be. Then they saw one, and suddenly they said, now I understand how it could be. Meaning, it's hard for science to prove something doesn't exist. Spontaneous generation. You can't prove to me it doesn't exist. You can prove to me that what you see doesn't have that. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist elsewhere. There was a fish that the Mexicans were saying that they kept seeing swimming around. And the scientists said, no, based on evolutionary theory, this fish does not exist today. The Mexicans, it's fairy tales. And then about 6 years ago, they caught that fish off the coast and they brought it alive and then it died. It doesn't last too long in the net. But once they saw it alive, so then the scientists had a lot of explaining to do. And suddenly, we can make it work. I'm saying not everything that science contradicts Chazal do we say science is right. But some things we see science got it right. Now, I'm saying, fine. So, but you have to address that point. So then the question is, when Chazal are in line with science, you can just look at those and ignore the others and say, you see, they knew everything. But what you got to deal with the other situations too. You can't ignore it. I'm saying,
I understand their.
If you're going to, I'm saying, to say Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, how are you going to delineate which one is and which one isn't? When they got it right, it's from Moshe from Sinai. When science seems to contradict them, then suddenly it's not. So
the question is how their abilities were so superior in terms of them being able to darshan out of the situation that 2,000 years later it's confirmed. Or are we saying this is on the sword? That's the question. Meaning, are we saying that this is a dar that this is a drashot and they received it from a tradition?
I don't think there's one answer to that. I think some things they had on tradition, such as certain things in astronomy. And some things they derived themselves, as is clear from the Gemara.
Right.
You see from the Gemara, there are certain things they derived themselves. Okay, so now we have to move on next time to the discussion, what does this Gemara mean?